This is the Hong Kong Football Podcast.
Kowloon, Kowloon, Hong Kong. We like Hong Kong. That's a place for you.
Here it is, Hong Kong Football Podcast, coming to you from Kowloon, Hong Kong, in a week in which Eduardo puts Taipo level, then Sean Sear heads to settle the match for the league silver medal, and two Brazilians both heading crosses as Kitchy prove they're the bosses, going a league season without any losses. We've got that big win for Taipo to talk about, plus Kitchy's unbeaten season and a cup final this weekend in which both those sides will do battle. Yes, the weather is hotting up and so is the atmosphere as the season winds towards its summer conclusion. We are still Hong Kong's premier weekly English language local football podcast. My name is still James Legg and I am joined, as always, by Tobias Tsusa. Toby, how's it going?
Woo!
Still absolutely excited about that Taipo win last Sunday.
It was a great game, wasn't it? We were both there. And Taipo secured second place in the Premier League thanks to a late 2-1 win over Pegasus at home. What are your thoughts on the match?
First of all, it was extremely hot that day. Maybe that was also the reason why eventually not so many people showed up as I expected. Maybe we talked up the game a little bit too much.
Yeah, 1,400 people. We predicted the chance of a sellout, which was didn't even get close to really. But the people who were there got what?
It was a bit of a strange game, I feel. Maybe it was the heat, or maybe it was that it was so much at stake. But you just mentioned it was a good game, but actually it didn't really look like that for the first 70 minutes or so.
It was a good end to a game. Like, do you know when you watch a film and it has this really satisfying payoff and you actually hadn't enjoyed most of it, but it leaves you with that kind of illusion that it was a good film?
Right.
It's like that. It's like, it's the Armageddon of football matches. Like you just kind of whipped up in the emotion of the final 20 minutes. Maybe it was a very slow first half, wasn't it? Pegasus was surprisingly attacking in the first 10 minutes. Of course, they only needed a draw from this game to secure that second place for this season and to stand a chance of going into the AFC Cup next season. And they got what they needed. They were 1-0 up quite early. João Emir with a nice layoff for Chan Su-Ki to put them 1-0 up. That was a great goal, I thought. When João has the ball on around the penalty spot, four Taipo defenders all kind of converge on him. 9 out of 10 Hong Kong footballers, 99 out of 100 would still have shot. But João had the presence of mind to realise, this is off, I'm going to lay it to my left for Hong Kong football legend Chan Su-Ki. And he left Chan with a relatively easy shot, but he took it very nicely from about 12 yards in off the post. And I thought, well, you looked sad at the time.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, Taipo need two goals now. And Pegasus know they need two goals. And so they're going to sit back a little bit. And it really pushed the burden of bringing the game onto Taipo. And they didn't take that burden for the rest of the first half, did they? They just didn't look like they had the ideas. They were losing the ball a lot. They were putting the ball out of play. Lots of misplaced passes. And they didn't seem to have any ideas. Pegasus were very tight. I mean, Chan Su-Ki went back to essentially left back. It was a back five that they assembled, protected by Wu Chun-Ming. And it looked like they were struggling to get through this tight, compact Pegasus defense.
What I've been thinking after the game is that, for me, Yang Ching-Kwang, the coach, was a little bit too conservative in that regard. Particularly because Taipo really looked extremely chaotic in the rest of the first half. They were just on the fringe of collapsing. And I think if Pegasus would have gone for the second goal there, they could actually got at least a draw back home. The reason why I'm saying this is they have this track record now, I think, of four games where the team that scored first eventually lost.
Yeah, both of these two teams playing.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Taipo were 2-0 up earlier in the season and they lost 3-2. And yeah, it's the best way to win this fixture is to go behind.
Right. Or at least like get a lead of like up to like two or three goals, right? And then it looks different. But one goal, well, it shouldn't have been that comfortable to rest on, right?
Yeah, and this is what happened. Taipo did equalize in the second half through Eduardo Preyas in his kind of auxiliary striker role that he sometimes take up. And he sometimes used to take up for his former side, which of course is Pegasus. He bundled in across. After that goal, you could kind of see what direction the game was going in. Taipo sent on Yun Chun Sing, the striker, while Pegasus sent on Jean-Jacques Quilamba, the centre-back, you could see that we were going to go into a final 20 minutes of typo pressure in which Jurgen basically just wanted to repel. And in the 89th minute, after much of that pressure, Wongwai sends in a signature Wongwai ball diagonally arced into the box from about, I don't know, 50 yards out. And it finds Sean Sayre all alone. Lovely header, straight past Leung Hin Kit in the Pegasus net. And that gives them the 2-1. It gave them the win. Everyone went nuts. The place went crazy. Lee Chi-Kin, the typo coach, went utterly berserk. He looked like he just won the lottery. And it was quite an atmosphere towards the end there, like real celebration for Taipo. And you could really feel and you could see the joy on the faces of these players. Second in the league. They were, what, sixth last season? What an achievement.
Right, particularly for a district team. And looking back in history, it's the first time that a district team actually finished that high in the league, except for Yuenlong winning the league back in 1963. But arguably, they were not really a district team in that sense, right, as we have them now. So huge achievement. And yeah, very historic, because it also means that they are now going to the AFC Cup qualifiers.
So they go into the qualifiers, not the group stage.
Yeah, they will have to play, I think at the moment, two preliminary rounds. One against a Macau or Taiwan team, and the other one then probably a playoff against a North Korean team.
Wow.
Two legs away and home.
That could be tough.
Right, except if Kitchi are qualifying for the ACL, then Taipu would get the fixed group stage spot in the AFC Cup, and Pegasus would actually be invited into the qualifiers.
Wow, that'd be very interesting, wouldn't it?
Right.
Let's see how that pans out. Okay, so I feel a little bit sorry for Pegasus.
Oh, why is that?
I mean, I just think they've had a great season, and they've been the surprise of the season. I think Taipo have done really well, but Pegasus were just so flat last season. They had little identity, and that's changed this season. They've got a real shape. You can see exactly what they're trying to do. Not only can you see what they're trying to do, but mostly they've succeeded. They've only lost 4 games this season. They got all, you know, they were second until the final game of this season. I just think they've done really well, and it's worth pointing out, moments after Taipo scored, Pegasus scored what looked like an absolutely delightful goal, with Eugene Mbama playing a lovely through ball for Mahama Hawali, went past Lee Hon Ho and scored. It was called offside, and he was a leg offside.
Well, offside is offside eventually, right?
Yeah. I know, but I know it's strange, because of course, yeah, it's offside, but it was a lovely goal, and it did look like he shut the typo fans up for a moment there. And no, it was not to be for Pegasus. Elsewhere, Kitchi beat Yuenlong 2-0. This was at the Mongkok Stadium. That was thanks to some very late goals from Paulinho and Fernando, after Diego Forlan in his final game had left the pitch for Kitchi. That means they not only have won the league, but they've done so without losing a match. Played 18, won 16, drawn 2. They finished a full 13 points ahead of Taipo in second place. They've been excellent this season, haven't they?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And basically what we have predicted materialized, right? I mean, it was very clear, I think, after September that Kitchi are going to sweep the league, right? And that's what happened, and certainly deserved. I think nothing much might change in the next few years ahead, but we will see about that, of course.
Okay, well, that was something I wanted to get to. Let's mention this now. That is a question, isn't it? What happens next season? Are they going to keep this squad together? I mean, I predicted around Christmas time that they might be adversely affected by the AFC Champions League campaign. That barely materialized. You know, that effect didn't really come around. Is this just going to happen every year now? Unbeaten season for Kitchi. I mean, they only lost one game last season. In 2 seasons, they've lost one game, winning both league title. Is this just the way things are for now?
Well, I think it would be strange if it wouldn't be like this at the moment, just given the fact that Kitchi have the best infrastructure in Hong Kong, have the most money around. And I think the squad will change, but it actually will change even to become even stronger and better and maybe more professional in the future. And I think this is not the direction that Kitchi is actually looking into. The fact that they are upgrading the facilities with a sports medicine department eventually over the next year, the money that they're pouring into this, the goal, what I believe, is now now actually to qualify for the ACL and taking these chances very seriously through the qualifiers to get back into this competition. And that would mean, first of all, to actually upgrade the foreigners. And I believe that we will see quite a change in the squad over the summer of a lot of regulars leaving, particularly the older ones, maybe also some of the locals like Lokwani, Lam Kawai, who haven't really got much time anymore on the pitch, but could probably provide a very good addition to any other club in this league. At the same time, maybe integrating more of the young players like Cheng Chenglong, for example, and Ling Ai Hoi, who was given, I think, more playing time towards the end of the season and actually proved himself then quite well. And then, yeah, upgrading foreigners and looking for a new foreign aides in particular.
But it depends what you call an upgrade, right? Because I honestly can't understand. If it's purely commercial, then fine. But, you know, the Diego Forlan signing, and there's a lot of talk of a similar quote-unquote marquee signing coming next season. Maybe it'll happen in winter time rather than during summer. To me, that just seems utterly absurd. Like, by far their best player, you know, and I think inarguably the best player in the league this season is Christian Vadoch, someone who isn't some famous name but is clearly a level above Hong Kong football. And to me, it seems like they need to be shopping at that level of the market, not at this ridiculous 38-year-old faded star level that they appear to want to shop at. And to me, I think that's a decision they need to make. And to me, it's an absolute no-brainer that you have to do more Vardoches, fewer Forlans.
Right. But even that would mean an upgrade, right?
Meaning
you look for these players who have a track record, for example, in Japan, right? And in the better Asian leagues. And that might be the direction they're heading to.
And maybe even doing what they've often done and looking down the league, Bayern Munich-esque, like they did with Fernando and like they did with Lucas. And the person who springs to mind would be Taipei's Igor Sartori.
Hands off Igor Sartori. I warn you.
Let's see how that pans out. What else happened at the weekend? Southern beat Eastern 3-2. They were 2-0 up within 25 minutes, thanks to a brace from Marcos de la Espada. Those are his 15th and 16th goals of the season in all competitions. Great campaign for him. But that lead was cancelled out by goals from Jude Schwai and a Michel Lugo penalty. But a little later, Roberto Fronzer headed a Michael Luck free kick past Easton's 40-year-old reserve goalie Ho Kwok Chun to retake the lead and eventually secure the 3 points. This was a game that we knew how it was going to turn out. Eastern were always going to be fourth, Southern were always going to be fifth. Of course, Southern have closed that gap. Two teams who've had very similar seasons, a real Jekyll and Hyde, terrible first half. But Eastern's was very much the first half. Southern's was kind of the middle. But they've recovered to, I guess, take what you would call their rightful places in the league this season, fourth and fifth, very much nowhere near the top one or the Taipo Pegasus melee, but also clearly superior to those teams beneath them. Speaking of which, Lee Mann beats RNF in probably the least consequential competitive football match in human history. 4-1, the final score. 2 goals for Giovanni Da Silva, who's had a quiet season in his first year in Guangzhou, and 1 for Thiago Delianco, who's done brilliantly. That's 9 goals in 13 appearances for the 26-year-old Brazilian since he signed during the winter. Surely they can't keep hold of him. Or would they even be interested in him at their main team, Guangzhou RNF?
I don't think so at the moment, because they do have one of the best strikers in the CSL in Sahavi, and that position is not under dispute. So maybe not for the CSL at the moment, but he could probably get easily offers from other places around Asia.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would be surprised if we see him at RNF next season. This match was refereed by Gigi Law, Hong Kong's first ever top-level female referee. That's her second game, as the main official suggests that she's now on the regular rotation, I guess, for refereeing. And we can probably expect to see a lot more of her next season. Hong Kong, once again, doing its small bit for gender equality in football. And, oh, I appear to have found a match of even less consequence than that one. Bottom side Rangers played second bottom Dreams. They drew 1-1. Young Dreams fullback Lam Hin Ting got the goal for his side with a header off a free kick early in the second half. His header hit the bar, bounced in, bounced out, and was cleared. But the linesman spotted that it had already crossed the goal line and gave the goal. That's Lam's 6th goal in all competitions this season from left back. That's not bad at all. And he's only 18 years of age.
Yeah, amazing debut. It's very impressive, and I hope we will see more of him next season. And wouldn't that also make him the best domestic goal scorer, or one of the best at least?
Yeah, well, if you're talking local and or ethnic Chinese, we've got three all on six in all competitions. Lee Roy, who of course is from the mainland and plays for RNF, all of his six goals came in the Premier League, so he's the top league scorer in that sense. But Wong Guai and Lam Hin Ting are also on six. They just got goals in cups as well. So it depends how you want to cut it. But yeah, he's certainly up there for the, well, I say ethnic Chinese, I basically mean non-Brazilian players. But yeah, late on, Rangers striker Sasaki Shu went down in the box under pressure from two Dreams defenders, won a penalty and scored it. So it finished 1-1. Rangers finish on a paltry 6 points. Dreams ahead of them, only one place, but they're on 15 points. So a better season for them. They got basically all of their points in the first like 8 matches of the season. Okay, so that's the end of the season. That means that all we have left is 2 cup finals.
Do you at all miss the playoffs somehow?
Yeah, I do. I mean, so regular listeners will know we used to end the season with playoffs between... I used to think it was the 2nd to 5th placed teams. But did cup winners get a place as well?
Yeah, but often this was overlapping then eventually, right?
Of course, yeah. So generally the 2nd to 5th placed teams and or cup winners got to play in a semi-final and final, and that decided who got to go into the AFC competition. I used to really like it for a couple of reasons. One, last season it was a really good time for us to hand out our season review magazines. And two, well, it just added a little bit of fun to the end of the season, and it meant that teams, anyone in the top half of the league had something to play for towards the end of the year. Anyway, it's not happening. The season is over. The league season is over. All we have left is 2 cup finals, both between Taipo and Kitchi, the Sapling Cup and the FA Cup. We'll talk about the first of those soon. But before that, Lester has been in touch.
Hi, Lester.
Hey, Lester. He wants to talk about the relegation stuff, such as it is. And he points out that on the opening podcast of this season, I'd forgotten this, but he remembers, Toby predicted that Rangers would finish last, but would not be relegated, quote, because Hong Kong, end quote.
Beautifully said.
Yeah, and you're 100% correct. They did finish bottom, and it now looks like they won't be relegated from the Premier League. I guess, I mean, that's just how it works, right? And I mean, Lester's also pointed out that if Yuen Long go down and Hoi King go up, as is expected, doesn't that prove that promotion relegation between the HKPL and the First Division is based on money and not merit? And finally, if that's the case, would you lads agree that then Happy Valley is guaranteed to be in the Premier League in 2019-20. So take all of those questions all at once. So I guess the question of whether or not it's on merit or money, I mean, that's just, yeah, it is. It's based purely on the ability of a team to play in the Premier League as a organization, not as a footballing entity, right? And so if anyone from Division 1, as in this case, it's Hoi King, wants to come up, then, well, that's just going to happen, isn't it, if they can afford it?
Right. And I think that also has to do with the fact that you talk about only one professional tier in Hong Kong, right? So I think the ridiculous thing that we are talking about here is that Hong Kong is clinching to this promotion relegation model, although in fact, it's not applied in that regard, right? It's almost like an A-League with like teams going bankrupt and other ones who want to replace these teams then coming up. But I think we will still see a lot of this. I mean, I wouldn't mind if Happy Valley is actually coming up, because it would be one of the rare occasions when a traditional team makes its way back to the top flight.
Rather than dropping out of it.
Right, rather than having like new entities that you don't really know how long they will stick around eventually. So yeah, in effect, I would hope Happy Valley coming up. And I think even like the fact that the FA is always very ambiguous about how many teams they want in the league, always leaving this kind of unknown gray area. Oh, maybe we have 10 teams, maybe we have 12 teams. Basically shows that we just take as many as we can and then take it from there, which is depressing, but it has never been different in the last years at least.
And so how do you feel about your successful Rangers prediction?
I wish I would be proud of it, but somehow it's depressing that, yeah, it could be predicted so accurately. And if this means that we have to say goodbye to Yuen Long, it's a very painful prediction indeed.
Yeah, I think my prediction was actually the Dreams would finish bottom. I said that they would finish bottom and then go out of business. So we correctly chose the bottom two. However, it doesn't look like they're going anywhere. You know, they actually look like quite a well-run club.
Yeah, I really have grown to like them.
Yeah, their social media game is super strong.
Absolutely. The best in the league, I have to say.
But what did they do for Mother's Day? That was nice.
They posted the lineup, but instead of giving the name of the players, they just called them after their mother's name. So the son of...
Carmen.
Right. Or,
yeah. Yeah, it was very sweet. And yeah, it was hopefully they can stick around and hopefully they can have a slightly more even season in the next one. Currently, as I understand it, Yuen Long are likely to go down and Hoi King are likely to come up. And that's about it, really. I think that's the only change as things stand, I'm aware that things are constantly in flux. But at the moment, is that the latest?
Yeah, that's very much it. But then you never know. At this time last year, we didn't think that South China would suddenly say bye-bye as well. So
the year before that, didn't Eastern nearly go out of existence as well?
Speaking of Eastern, right, there are other rumors that Peter Leung resigned. But then when the rumors came out, he immediately debunked them and said, no, he's not resigning.
Peter Leung, the chairman of Eastern.
Yeah. So we don't know. We don't know what's happening. But that sounds like what we are going to deal with in the next coming months.
Oh, yeah, it's par for the course. It's going to be a bumpy summer.
The Hong Kong Football Podcast comes out every Wednesday. You can make sure you never miss our latest show by subscribing on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Okay, Hong Kongers abroad, how's Choi Wan Kit doing in Meizhou?
Well, he played away now in Shenzhen, just across the border this last weekend. And he made this amazing clearance off the line. A last second or nanosecond clearance and lovely to watch.
It's very good, isn't it? The ball's kind of coming in a couple of yards off the ground and he skids towards the line and with his back to the ball and puts a leg up. And yeah, it's a great save. I'm pretty sure you've probably shared the GIF or something on Twitter.
Of course, yeah.
If anyone wants to find it online. How did the game finish?
Well, Meizhou still lost 1-4 eventually.
Yeah.
So not that great. Choi Wan Kit was actually playing center back instead of his usual right back position. But what I've heard, he is not to blame for that defeat eventually. But still, yeah, it's painful. But they played against Shenzhen and Shenzhen is now one of the promotion contenders.
From China League One to the CSL. Okay, well, it's good that we still have a Hong Kong international as a regular starter in China League One. And just like Festus in the CSL. One other thing that I do want to raise is that our push for listener feedback on this year's Hong Kong Football Podcast. As anyone who listened last weekend, I'm not going to bore you with the details again, but we're kind of thinking of changing things up a little bit. And please get in touch. What do you like about the podcast? What do you not like? Do you like how much detail we go into about every match? Or do you think it's a little bit too much? You know, I know that for some people, this is like a news source. You know, they might not know how Lee Man got on, or they might not know how, you know, lower league teams got on. So they might like that, or they might think, look, I already know, I already watched this. So yeah. Get in touch, let us know what you think and what would you like to hear more of. That's about it. podcast@offside.hk. Once again, podcast@offside.hk.
And if you don't want to get into this formality of writing an email, you can also just send us a tweet. That's also a way to contact us.
We'll take feedback any which way, yeah. Speaking of new directions, we did an interview, Toby. Well, I know you know this, you were there.
Yeah.
We interviewed Hong Kong Football Podcast Player of the Season, Christian Vadoch, who went down to Kitchee's training center. And it's going to be published in the Season Review magazine, the interview, but it's also going to be put out as a podcast at the end of the season, which you can listen to in a couple of weeks. But we wanted to ask him also about these upcoming finals against Taipo in the FA Cup and the Sapling Cup. Here's what he had to say.
I'm excited. I don't prepare differently because there are cup finals. It's my motto is just to prepare yourself to play a match, because this is the nowadays football, the modern football is about prepare yourself physically, mentally. You always have to be focused, and then you have the basic skills, which is a bit determined or limited somehow, but I said mentally be ready, and physically you always have to be ready, because otherwise the injuries are coming anyways. It's coming unconsciously, unfortunately. But if you are doing good preseason, doing good on the training, then your body is ready to play football and to fight until the last moment. So I'm really focusing every single weekday to be ready and to put the small things together to perform as best on the weekend.
Yeah, and if you want to hear more of that interview, it will be published in a couple of weeks, so look out for that. We'll be talking about Baldacci's life in Hong Kong, how the season's been, ACL stuff. Speaking of our season review magazine, do remember that we will be handing it out at the FA Cup final. That is in 10 days or so time, and we'll be the guys outside handing out magazines. You'll see us. There will only be 1,000 copies, so if you want one, make sure you come and find us. If you can't make it to the FA Cup final, then there are different ways that you can read this. One is that we'll be releasing it online as a PDF that you can read on your tablet or your phone or whatever. Also, if you live in Hong Kong and you just really, really want a copy, then get in touch. There might be a way that we can arrange to send you one or drop one off at a different match or something like that. Please do get in touch on the usual email address.
We can hide some somewhere. Secret spot. Under a dustbin.
You'll have to like assemble the clues from Easter eggs that we leave in different episodes. Oh, this is going to be amazing. Right.
One page in every district. Your own magazine.
Okay, before all of that fun is the Sapling Cup final, 3 p.m. Saturday, 19th of May at the Hong Kong Stadium. Toby, do you know why it's at the Hong Kong Stadium?
Don't want to talk about it. Oh, it seems that there is a rugby event in Hong Kong Stadium.
Yeah, everyone's favorite sport, rugby. The beautiful game, they call it. It's the global sport and everyone loves it. No, it's not. No one likes it. Even people who like it are only pretending to like it so that they look tough.
I can see Fuck the hate off. Mail coming.
Some stupid game. They're not even from Mong Kok. It's like some Japanese team and some Argentine. I don't know. Anyway, they're playing at the Mong Kok. It's a football stadium. What are you doing? Anyway, yeah, so there's a rugby game, basically. I'm sorry, I got angry. There's a rugby match happening at the Mong Kok Stadium, the spiritual home of Hong Kong football. So just as league games are ejected from the Hong Kong Stadium so that they can play the bastardized form of their sport, sevens, every year, football is now being kicked out of its home, the Mong Kok Stadium, so that they can play, admittedly, the real form of the game this time around. If you go in, have fun. Go and watch some rugby. But that's why it's not happening. I think that's why it's not happening at the Mong Kok Stadium, which would be a much more suitable venue. Anyway, Tai Po versus Kitchy. Are you excited, Toby?
Of course. Finally, we are talking silverware again after a while.
And it's the Sapling Cup, so of course both teams will have to play two youngsters in their starting 11 or any time on the pitch. Do those rules make it more likely than otherwise that Tai Po will win this?
I think it increases their chances, but it doesn't mean that they would be now suddenly the favorite into this game. It will still be Kitchy. Tai Po might have a small, tiny boost by having these very young regulars in the squad like Tan Chin Lok. But other than this, Kitchy are still the favorites to take it. But nonetheless, Tai Po are known as the Sapling Cup specialist, particularly Lee Chi Kin is known as that, whereas Kitchy has never won it before. So maybe this is something that Kitchy want to add to the trophies. So I think that they should have enough motivation going into this game. And for Tai Po, it's probably the most realistic chance for silverware this year, and I think they will go all out for it, particularly after this great success last weekend as well.
Yeah, if you were Lee Chi Kin, would you be especially prioritizing the Sapling Cup final over the FA Cup final because there's a bigger chance of you winning it, or a slightly heightened chance?
Yeah, even more so now that the FA Cup won't be anymore about the AFC Cup eventually. So Sapling Cup might be the one that is more likely to win. So probably I would maybe go out for it. But again, like, I think we will see the same lineup in both games from Tai Po. It's not that they can make any changes. No, not like Kitchy. Kitchy could like field two teams and play against itself, right? And probably still have a competitive game going on. That's not the case for Tai Po. We will see more or less the same team.
So how can they do this? Because they tried going toe-to-toe with Kitchy. You know, it was a very interesting game earlier in the season at Monkhark. They Taipo were 1-0 up for much of the game. But then Kitchy's deeper squad and I would say greater levels of professionalism in the setup kind of showed through, and then they lasted the 90 minutes better. Taipo tired because they were having to play their high-energy game against a very good team. Is that still their only option, to go for it, to really get in Kitchy's faces, to basically play their swashbuckling attacking football? The point I'm making is, do they even have the option of sitting back and trying to absorb pressure?
Probably not. But the difficult thing with Kitchy is that most of the time they wake up and they score in the last 20 minutes, right?
Like they did against Yulong at the weekend.
Right. And this is like a common pattern that we have seen, right? When the match was almost seeming to end in a draw, or where you felt that, oh, there's actually something possible for the opponent, and then Kitchy had a great comeback in the last 50 minutes with some tactical changes and so on. So waiting them out doesn't work. And at the same time, getting an early lead also won't work. I think that the worst that could happen is actually for Taipo conceding early into the game, like one or two goals, and then it will be very tough to come back from that one. But as you said, right, the way how Taipo played this first half that I missed because I was still on the MTR back then. It was a weekday game, right? Friday night game.
It was a night game, yeah.
So maybe this is the match that Lee Jae-kin should look at, right? And what lessons can be learned from this, and if this is something that they can, building high pressure on Kitchy in that regard. At least now Kitchy won't have Lucas Silva, which is an advantage.
Because he's injured.
Right. However, at the same time, Kitchy don't have Diego Forlán anymore, which is a disadvantage.
For Taipo.
Right. Because they will probably have a stronger player on the field instead.
Yeah. And although in that game, the guy who made the difference, if I remember rightly, was Matt Lam, who came off the bench and assisted both of the goals. So, and he's out on loan at Lee Man. So we'll see. I guess, of course, Kitchy are still the favourites. They are still Kitchy. They are the reigning champions, the unbeaten champions. It's interesting, isn't it, that we've ended up with Kitchy first place, Taipo second in the league, both in the FA Cup final, both in the Sapling Cup final, which shows that they really are the top two teams in Hong Kong at the moment. And it also actually shows you how well Yuen Long did, beating them both on the way to their Senior Shield triumph.
Yeah, makes me feel sad about Yuen Long again.
Yeah, but all good things come to an end, Toby. Speaking of which, this is the end of this week's Hong Kong Football Podcast. Get down to the game this weekend. I hope you have a great time. Hope your team wins. Until next week, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's a place for you.